And welcome again to Cottage Talk. I'm Russ Goldman, and co-hosting with me today is Mike Gregg. In this episode, we'll be looking back at the friendly on Saturday for Fulham against Crystal Palace at Craven Cottage. Mike was there for this match, so he is on to share what he watched in person. We have much to discuss in this show, but before we do anything, I always have to welcome my co-host back to the show. Mr. Gregg, how you doing?
Yeah, hi, Russ. Yeah, doing well, and looking forward about talking about yesterday's promising pre-season friendly, and there's a few things that come from it to discuss, and not only what happened on the pitch, but also the comments from the manager afterwards.
Absolutely. We will be talking about what Slavica Jokanovic said after the match. It's in the head coach reaction. I'll get your thoughts on that at the very end, but we want to talk about the match first. So let's just start off at the top, Mike. I actually listened to the match, and I want to give Jamie Hill some credit here. He filled in for Gentleman Jim, and I thought he did a very good job. I think he did get the head coach's name wrong. He kept saying Slavica in a different way, but that's fine. But I thought he did an excellent job of describing what was going on, painting the picture. And I let him know that because I really thought that he did a good job. He knew a good amount about Palace, too, so that really helped. So he really gave a good accounting on both teams. It wasn't really Fulham heavy. It was really more of just a central view of both teams. But of course, he did really, hone in on Fulham, but he gave you both sides. So I want to give Jamie Hill some credit because I really thought he did a very good job on the radio broadcast. But, Mike, you were there, so let's now get your view. Let's just get an overall view of what you watched at Craven Cottage yesterday.
Well, it was a fairly decent pre-season friendly, livened up as the game went on, as we're in ascendancy and the Palace seemed to wake up. But it was a competitive game. Wasn't played at walking pace or anything like that. And certainly Palace took it. Some of their tackles second half were a little bit hard, shall we say? But overall, it's a good result, a decent performance, and quite a number of positives to take from it. Couple of negatives and things that they still need to work on, but it ends a really good pre-season that we've had. There can be good and bad pre-seasons, and it doesn't really matter what happens going forward, but it has to be better than losing to them 3-0 or anything like that. So we should take it in, this should take us into Friday in good spirits. And some of the players yesterday who you wouldn't expect to be starting or even challenging for a squad place, did their chances a power good yesterday. But overall, good game, good result, lots of positives, and a bit of a feel-good factor from the fans as we walked out.
Oh, that's great. And, what was good about from the club is that they actually released the first half highlights while the second half was going on. So I got some highlights. It was 6 minutes long, and then after the match, they released it pretty soon afterwards. So I had 12 minutes of highlights, but again, I wish I had seen the whole match. But that's what's great about having you on, Mike, because, again, I got a nice picture painted by Jamie Hill, but you can really go deeper into what you watched, and I'm glad that everyone left with a good feeling. But let's start here. Before we break down the match, let's talk about the team that started the match. There were some surprises. So let's start with going through that and get your thoughts on the team that started the match. Jesse Yeronen was the goalkeeper. Then you go to Odoi, Collis, Maddle, Sessegnon, Tunnicliffe, McDonald, Kearney, who was the captain, Aiete, Aluko, and Matt Smith, which was another surprise. When you saw the starting 11, what were your thoughts, Mike?
It certainly wasn't the lineup we'd expected. I mean, there were rumours that there was a virus in the team, and there were some other players playing in an under-23 game, a number of the players sitting in the cottage balcony. So for a pre-season friendly this close to kickoff of the season with the 11 that was out there and the four subs, it was a it was odd. Yeah, I have to say, I've not experienced a looking at a team and a sub bench like that in a pre-season game. Certainly don't recall that. But you know, looking at a team, the main thing was neither of the goalkeepers were really expected to be lining up with there. You know, Session on getting a start, 16 years old, or turned 16 last May, and there he is playing against a Premier League team a week before our season kicks off. And Kearney being captain, that was a that was an odd one, you know, when you
yes.
But I suppose when you look at the players, it probably made sense because he was, you know, apart from Tunnicliffe, probably the longest there, you know, or, you know, with Smith as well, but you wouldn't expect him to be captain. But so it was an odd side, but it was good to see, you know, the majority of the new signings playing. It was good to see McDonald there. And Maddo and Callis actually playing together. A lot of people think they're going to be the number one choice, but when you look at the pre-season lineups, they actually haven't played together that much. So that was a good thing for us. But yeah, an interesting lineup, and one which you know, talking to a few of the fans before the game, there were just question marks. You know, where were the guys who have done well? Where was Humphreys? Where was Woodrow? And the two goalkeepers, etc. And there, I think the club may have tweeted out something at about 2 o'clock, but certainly not, unless you're looking at that, nothing's mentioned within the stadium. So, you know, it was we were a bit blind on why that team was picked. But it was an interesting one. Certainly with Smith starting, who I don't think, you know, Jurkanović is a big fan of, but I think it was a case of almost last man standing, so he had to start.
No, very good take, Mike. And I want to go back to talking about Tom Kearney. You and I have talked about this. Last season we talked about, you know, moving forward, we want Savisa to build the team around Tom Kearney. I've said that. I you know, so for me, having him be captain, I'm thinking, you know what, this isn't a bad thing. I understand that there weren't too many players that were out there that were with the team last season, but he was the logical choice. And I think it's actually a good thing to have him go out as captain, Mike.
Yeah, well, he's older than people think. So, you know, I mean, it's and it does give him responsibility. It is only a pre-season game. But it probably shows, you know, how important he is to the team. And, you know, McDonald probably could do it. You know, maybe Maddo as well. But I think it's a case of, you know, the important senior players who have been there for a lot longer, and that's why he was given it. But I'm not going to read too much into it. There's once we get into the season, I'll be surprised to see him take it any longer. But yeah, it was good responsibility for the lad.
No, I just look at it this way. You know, I don't think he's going to be captain during the season. You're right about that. But I think it also can give him confidence that he's done it. I know it's preseason friendly, but that he is one of the leaders of Fulham. I think that Tom Kearney will be, and I think he's going to be an important player. So for him to get the captain, I thought it was a good thing. Anyways, let's move on, Mike. Let's now go to your first half observations, and let's do it a couple different ways. I'll be describing some of the goals, but before we do that, actually there was only one goal in the first half, but before we do that, I just want to get your thoughts on Fulham, you know, Fulham's chances, and then, of course, Crystal Palace's chances. So just talk about your observations in the first half. Just talk about the opportunities Fulham created in the first half.
Well, I didn't think, you know, apart from the goal, we didn't create a huge amount of chances. It certainly wasn't the, you know, let's get to the edge of the 18-yard box and then end up passing it back, like we've seen over the last few years. But it was, you know, we were definitely trying to play more down the wings. We were getting the crosses in, but they weren't falling to him. You know, Session got a couple of good ones in, Odu as well. You know, we had a free kick from Kearney. So there were bits and pieces going on for Fulham, but not an awful lot of chances until, you know, Aluka had that one-on-one with the keeper. Nice ball from Kearney, and he rounds him and puts it away. And, you know, it's a very good finish. You know, we see, how many times do we see strikers one-on-one and they mess it up? So, a good goal from him. Palace on their chances, they created more clear cut throughout the game. We're whipping in the crosses
right.
a lot quicker. I mean, there's a certain style to the way you watch Palace. So the difference with us is we will get the ball wide and our players will take, you know, 1, 2, 3 touches, even the new lads, and wait for the players to get in the box. Palace and Pardew has obviously set them up this way. And so, you know, they would look to get the ball out wide to Zaha and Townsend. And their guys would whip the crosses in, even their fullbacks would whip the cross in as quickly as possible, just expecting the two strikers to be in the box. And the downside was we still allowed too many crosses in, but I think that's just the way Palace are. They will whip it in no matter what. And a few that went across the goal against us. Nothing against Bettinelli Jeanman coming out and collecting
yeah.
it because they weren't those kind of crosses. But, you know, that was the downside. And so I would say Palace probably looked the team that was going to score. And certainly, you know, we can talk about Jeanman's save. You know, it was a great save. Okay, it was straight at him, but he's still got to do it. But, you know, everyone was impressed by that. And I'm glad Jeanman got the game yesterday. You know, we haven't, in the first team, we haven't seen him since the McGaff mad days of, 2014 start of the season. And the poor lad, you know, lost his way after that. But I think I've mentioned it on the show before. He gave the best goalkeeping performance by any Fulham player I saw last year in the reserves at Arsenal. And I've always felt that potentially he is a better option long-term than Bettinelli. But there is still that feeling, even after yesterday's performance when he played really well, that he's going to be the third choice, and I would expect him to go out on loan. But it was good that he sort of showed some of the fans, you know, what he can do. Those who, you know, remember back to disasters like, the beginning of that McGaff season. So one thing he does better than the other goalkeepers is he comes out and catches the ball. And he did one in particular right at the end of the first half. The ball was pumped in and he came and caught it right on the edge of the box. Now, you know, for a Fulham goalkeeper to do that recently, that's a bit of a miracle. But, you know, so he did well. He did well in that first half. And I was sitting with the game with my father, first time he's seen him this season. So the new guys like Aluku and IRT and Ado. He said the difference was, although the team wasn't playing fast-paced football, you know, we are knocking it a bit quicker, but, you know, not a mega speed. But the difference is these individual players, when they get the ball, they can turn and run and sprint past the player. Whereas the last couple of years, it's very sort of like a game of chess. We pass it to someone else, another player's got to run on. So it's very static the way we've played the last couple of seasons. Whereas here, the individuals themselves can make that little burst and beat a player or skip past them. And that's what we're getting from these new guys. So overall, you know, we're one up. We go one up in the half time. And, you know, optimism is high for the second half. I can mention a couple of other players, if you like. McDonald, I think,
yep.
took a while to get in the game. It was a bit sluggish, but then my understanding is that he hasn't trained fully at Wolves, so he may be a week or two behind. And Tunnicliffe he tried some very elaborate passes, long field passes, and they didn't come off. And one of our regular listeners, Ben, he tweeted at one stage that he could tell that Jurcanovic wasn't happy with Smith or Tunnicliffe and the way they were playing. But, you know, overall, it was a good half and, you know, very happy to go in 1-0.
No, listen, I'm very happy. You know, again, based on what I was listening to, again, I'm listening to it and I've seen brief highlights. It was pretty even. But, Mike, I want to go back and talk about the pace of play. I've actually messaged our friend Marty Ward, who was there as well, and just, you know, again, I'm not going to say anything bad because Marty was basically just sharing me what he was seeing. He just said that it looked different to him. I'm paraphrasing. It looked different to him than the Brighton match. You know, again, we weren't as fast-paced as we were against Brighton, but I just messaged back to him, could it possibly be, Mike, that had a lot to do with the opponent? You have the speed of Townsend and Zaha going at you, so you couldn't really dictate the pace of play like you did against Brighton. Would that be fair? And I understand where Marty's coming from. He saw something that you saw, you know, it's like, wow, this looks exciting against Brighton, but it was a little bit different, and maybe the opponent had something to do with it.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's lots of things you have to take into account. I mean, we only had four subs, whereas at Brighton, all the players knew that they would pretty much all get taken off at one stage. So mentally, you're playing for an hour, 45 minutes in some games in pre-season, whereas this one, you know, everyone potentially could have played all 90 minutes. So you're not going to bust the gut in that way. And yes, the opponents. Now, Palace, they're a couple of weeks away from their season starting. And they were a little bit sluggish, and I would have expected them to be a bit better at this stage. But they were definitely sluggish, but still caused a threat. So, yes, our players were holding themselves back a little bit more. But as I said, it's more the individuality of some of the players which allows us to, you know, play a little bit quicker, you know, even in little groups. But there was things I had... IRT on my side of the match first time, and I kept seeing him do all these runs, and McDonald or Tunnicliffe or whoever just wasn't hitting him, but you could see what he was offering. He's looking to turn the ball back, run into space, and so I think we're going to see, you know, speed isn't everything. They've got to have some skill about them, and but I think against Premiership defenders, which we saw yesterday, we did very well. So, you know, come the Championship defenders who are, you know, are not going to be as good. I think if we can keep the guys who have got the pace up top fit, then, you know, we're going to cause them a lot of problems. And people like Sessegnon and Adou, they both got down the wings. And I remember an interview with Sessegnon, I think it was Sessegnon last week or the week before, where he spoke about they've got freedom to get down, but then the midfielders have to fill in place of them. And that's exactly what was happening yesterday. So that was good to see. So whereas sometimes we've got called out when our fullbacks have gone rampaging up front, this time there at least looks like there's a plan to cover them, you know, when they get forward. So what I will say is Sessegnon the first half, you know, Townsend against him all that half. And he, you know, apart from maybe twice, He coached him really well. Both him and IRT kept Townsend very quiet and didn't do much at all, really.
And that's great to hear, and I look forward to talking a little bit more about Sessegnon and Adou, because I really want to focus on the fullbacks, actually all back four and the goalkeeper when we talk about individual players later on. But, Mike, let's go through, you know, just thoughts on who stood out for you in the first half. I know you've been mentioning players, but for Fulham, who really stood out for you? Who made a good impression in this first half?
Aluku did, especially, and Maddo as well at the back. I thought they both played really well. Like I say, McDonald, you know, seemed to be finding his feet a little bit, and Tunnicliffe's radar was off. Kearney as well. I mean, we haven't mentioned the formation. We actually played what I think was a 4-4-2 or 4-4-1-1 with Aluku being, you know, the freedom to come a bit deeper. But at times that changed, and we, you know, we became 4-3-3 you know, with Smith in the middle and Aluku on one side and IRT on the other. So, you know, quite a fluid formation. But again, going back to the defence and how they're playing, you know, they look so much more organised this year. You know, four in a line, and Callis is a good signing as well, but I'll talk more about him second half. But,
okay.
Yeah, so for me, Aluku, you know, he skipped past players a couple of times, it'll burst the pace, and also, you know, took his goal very well.
Okay, very good, and I look forward to getting some more detail on these players when we transition, we talk about the second half. So why don't we do that right now, and let's talk about, you know, again, I'm going to talk about key moments. Obviously, they had household changes. We'll talk about that in a little bit because I want to get your thoughts about that because I think that's something to factor in what happened at the end of the match because I saw you tweet out, Mike, that the last 15 minutes was going to be interesting to see, you know, for fitness reasons because they were basically going against a brand new team. We'll talk about that in a little bit, but let me just share a little bit with you and get your thoughts on the goal Fulham scored in the 54th minute. This was a cross-in by Dennis Odoi that Speroni basically mishandled, and then Matt Smith was right there and just scored, did what he needed to do. What were your thoughts on this goal, Mike?
Yeah, well, leading up to that, we actually had a couple of chances to get the ball in, and he never quite delivered it on time. And, you know, on this particular time, I think it may have been McDonald, or maybe even Kenny, who passed the ball to him out wide. He got the cross in, and, yeah, the keeper goes low to smother it, and Smith is near him, and, you know, keeper spills it, and Smith somehow, you know, sticks his foot out and from about 3 yards, and it's over the line, and we're two up. And, you know, it's 9 minutes into the second half, and, again, you know, we're playing okay. We haven't been troubled too much. And suddenly, you know, where's all this come from? We're beating the Premier League side in a friendly, and, you know, and it's the new guys having an effect. And, you know, one of the sort of, I wouldn't say yesterday, man, but bit part players from last year, Smith, you know, getting the goal with all the others missing. So, yeah, two up and looking good. But, of course, being Fulham fans, we're all very cynical and, you know, and we're all thinking, you know, Palace are going to get back into this and let's not get too excited. One thing I will say before we carry on, first half and the second half, I spoke about earlier about worrying things. And for me, it was Palace, we are physically a bigger side. We are still quite, you know, look quite slight. When they walked out, you could see the difference. And so headers-wise, at corners, free kicks, those type of things, Palace were winning. You know, Palace had a couple of chances second half where the balls come in and, you know, better header or, you know, better delivery may have given them a more of a chance. But so that was it. That was a downside for us. But, you know, again, it's against a Premier League team. You know, Championship side would be slightly different. But we still need to, I think we're still missing a bigger centre-half or who can, you know, possibly win those headers, especially from, you know, corners and free kicks. But, you know, overall that defending was quite good. But I just wanted to sort of mention that. But, yeah, 2-0 up and all's looking good.
Okay, very good there, Mike. And let me just ask you in general, before we go any further, you know, you're there at the match, I'm listening to it, I'm getting interesting commentary, and based on what I was listening to, it sounded like a pretty even match. I know Fulham are up 2-0, and Crystal Palace are not as far along as Fulham are in their progression leading up to their first match, so they're not as match fit maybe as Fulham. But going up 2-0, did you think Fulham, you know, again, do you think they held their own? I know they scored the two goals, but do you think playing against an opponent that's in the Premier League that they were not out of place?
No, we were doing fine. And with Palace attacking the half in the second half where the end I was sort of sitting, at no time did I ever feel we were really under pressure. Yes, they had a couple of chances and we were blocking them. And you could feel, you know, they were certainly in the ascendancy for, you know, maybe a 5-10 minute period in the second half, which they should be. You know, they're 2-0 down. They suddenly started tackling a lot harder. You know, there's a couple of naughty fouls on players like Aluku. At one stage, I didn't think he was going to get up, but he did. And so, you know, McDonald as well, he started putting in the tackles and make up for that. But, yeah, I think Pardew, you noticed as soon as, you know, we scored, he got players up warming and, you know, they started making more subs as the second half progressed. But they also started getting a bit, you know, a bit feisty as well. So, but like I say, never felt we were in too much danger. And I don't think Joinen had any major saves to make. There were a couple of shots that went whizzing by or balls that came in. But no, felt very comfortable. And if anything, I felt, you know, we could score more, really. But yeah, no, we were doing fine, and that's got to give us hope for the season coming forward. You know,
absolutely,
it's not go overboard. It is just a friendly, but it is a friendly against a Premier League team, and nearly all their major players were playing, and they were getting upset and they were getting annoyed, and that's a good sign.
It is a good sign, Mike, and you know, that's one of the reasons why I wanted to mention some of the names of the players that played here. You know, you're going against Wilfred Zaha. You know, I'm getting a pretty good description of the battle between Odoi and Zaha. And then on the other side, you have Townsend going against Ryan Sessegnon, holding his own. And again, that's based on what I listened to. And you can fill me in when we talk about the individual players in a little bit, because I want to get your thoughts on both fullbacks. But I don't think that they were out of place based on what you're telling me, what I listened to, that they held their own. And that has to be encouraging, Mike, as we head to this opener against Newcastle. Yes, Newcastle have been relegated. They've lost a few players, I believe, you know, in the transfer market, but they've gained a few players. They are, you know, they are one of the favorites. But I'm telling you right now, based on what has happened in the preseason, if Fulham can play like they have in the preseason, they can give it a go against Newcastle. That's how I feel. Are you encouraged by what you've watched so far, including this friendly, going into that match?
I'm encouraged by the pace we've got, because, you know, you need that in the Championship. I'm certainly encouraged by that. And, you know, a number of those players who played yesterday will be the core of the starting 11 as long as they stay fit. And we should cause them, you know, we should cause other teams problems. I don't see it as a, you know, a Championship winning team, far from it. But I still, if we can keep them fit and add to the squad, as we'll talk about later from the manager's remarks,
right,
then I stand by what I said, I've said over the last couple of weeks, which is I can see us, we should be challenging. We should be in that kind of, you know, eighth position or higher, hopefully. But we should be in that kind of position with these players. I mean, IRT yesterday didn't have a great half, but he was always, you know, always causing problems. And all yesterday did was, for me anyway, just reinforce that certain players we have signed, and you know, and you read the forums and that, and they're all up, you know, there's some people still upset, still saying that, you know, Rigg and Khan and McIntosh and whoever haven't brought in players. Well, we've brought in 7 or 8, whatever it is, but
right,
you know, and they have made a difference. And so it's all right for people to say, you know, oh, Rigg's stopping all these buys, you know, and we're not buying anyone. Okay, we're not spending 4, 5, 6 million on any individuals at the moment, and I don't know if we will, but anyone who's at the game yesterday, if they want to turn around and say we got a Luku for free and he's, you know, he's no good because he's free, that's just not true. You know, he showed yesterday what he can do one-on-one and with other bits of his play. And Odoi, you know, under 2 million or whatever his fee was, is an absolute bargain, I think. I think he's going to be a really good player. And so, you know, there has work been done. And so I'm not as downhearted or, you know, keen to kick the club as some people are. But yes, we do need reinforcements to really make a challenge. But at the moment, it's a good base for us to push on.
Yeah, and I agree with that, Mike. And people have asked me, you know, how do you feel about Fulham? We're going to do a show on predictions, and I'll share that when we do the show. My only thought on this, and again, it doesn't give away my prediction, is that this is not the finished article. They're going to be adding players. If they can add to what they've already brought in, well, we might have something. They're not done yet. They're not going to win the league like you've already said, Mike. This is not a championship-winning side right now. But they certainly can be better than what they are right now, and I think what they are right now is encouraging. But they still need more additions, as we're going to hear Savica Jokanović obviously wants. And if he gets a few more players, I shouldn't say a few more, 4 to 5, what he wants, and they're the right players, we might have something. But we're not there yet. All right, Mike, let's move on to the to some other key moments and their goals, and I'll just share them with you quickly. Keshi Anderson scored for Crystal Palace in the 79th minute. I Just want your thoughts if you've got a good view of that. And then at the very end of the match to seal this friendly victory, Floyd Ayite scores. It was a little bit of a scrum in the end, but he actually got the shot. He started off with a great run, but again, it finally got back to him, and he scored to finish off the match for 3-1 victory. So, Mike, just share with me your thoughts on the goal by Crystal Palace late in the match in the 79th minute, and then the goal that ended the match for Fulham in stoppage time by Floyd Ayite.
Yeah, well, I mean, I remember tweeting at the time, you know, they'd made 7 subs just before in total in the second, you know, in the second half, up, you know, before their goal, and we'd made 2, I think. And so I did tweet, you know, we're almost playing a new team, and it's going to be a good fitness test for us. And it, you know, there were, you could see that Palace were trying to get in back in the game. You know, they don't want to lose to a championship side, and you know, they were giving it more of a go, and they were much fresher. And you start thinking, oh, you know, it's going to be back to the wall for the last 15 minutes. And I do think fitness told, or certainly concentration told for a second, for their goal. The ball was sort of chipped in and over the centre backs, over the back of Talas, and the bloke was in between him and Adoree, and you know, he finished well. And yeah, well, I think that was a concentration thing and a bit of freshness from their forward. So yeah, it was a worrying bit. Then you're sort of thinking, oh, you know, what looked good at 2-0, it's 2-1, we're going to blow it. I can just see what's going to happen, and I can imagine the reaction on Twitter and on the forums, you know, all about our fitness and lack of concentration and everything else, you know. But we're playing virtually a new outfield 11 or outfield,
right,
10. So I wasn't going to be too hard on them. But to be fair, in that last, you know, that last 10 minutes, we made another sub. You know, Stearman came on. The team changed around a bit, and you know, Stearman went to right back, and there was one particular attack by Palace, which actually might have been just before we scored, which gave him the corner, when him and Callis both chased down their winger and stopped the ball coming in. And this is a friendly, it's in the last few minutes of the game. But we were fighting for that, you know, to stop that ball coming in, and that's got to be a great sign. And then for the last goal, anyone who's seen it, it was a corner against us, and we broke away. And, you know, we got out wide, the ball comes in, shoot, you know, they all dilly-dallying around. But, you know, in the end, it falls through Ayite, and you know, he puts it in, it's 3-1, and rounds off a really good performance. But it was that breakaway, Russ.
Yep.
You know, the last time I saw a breakaway was that Christensen goal a couple of years ago, like that. But this was the numbers, when you look at the number of players we had going forward. So,
I know, I saw it.
And
yeah.
And that is the difference pace gives you, and the ability to break like that. And I hope any reinforcements we get coming in also have that kind of pace, because my one worry is we have these new guys come in, they're virtually all going to be starters, I would say, but if they're injured, they're out, we then go to the next level of player, and they must have that same attribute, they must have pace.
Right.
So that's what I'm looking for from the players who are going to come in. You don't want to lose that ability, because if you go back to a lineup from last season, you know, give or take a couple of players, it's going to be like last season in the style we play, which is, you know, it's just not going to have that spark and that ability to beat players, and also, you know, score breakaway goals like we did at the end yesterday. So, I mean, Parker had come on for Tunnicliffe, and Parker had a good chance to score. We actually had, you know, 2 or 3 good chances to score towards the end of the game. Christensen came on for Smith, which suddenly we had up front Ayite and Aluku, which must be the fastest forward line we've had in many a day. And you know, and finally Stearman came on for Aluku, and Adoree went to right midfield. So I mean, it all added up, you know, we suddenly could attack like that. So yeah, very pleased. And end of the game 3-1, a very happy Craven Cottage. And you could see the smiles and the enjoyment on the players' faces as well. And, you know, we must be going into Friday in good spirits. And
right.
I think, you know, the manager, you know, the players and the fans, we need to create an atmosphere because Newcastle fans will on Friday and try and take the confidence into that game.
Right. It's funny because I've already read an article. It was an opinion article, opinion-based from Newcastle, basically talking about the McCormack situation, the virus situation. This could be an opportunity for Newcastle. So we'll see. We'll see. You can think that. We'll see. Or it could be a situation where Fulham come together and they're ready for Newcastle. We'll see. We'll see who wins that. You know, I think if you're a Fulham supporter, you have to feel encouraged, but you have to keep it in check. You know, Dan Crawford on Hamian.com wrote a very, very good piece about the match. You know, Dan was trying to keep everything in perspective, and I like the fact that Dan did that because you can't get too high about a friendly. But you can take things out of it, and I think that's all we're doing here. You can take positives out of it. You just can't – I don't think you should run away with it and go overboard, but you can take positives out of it. And, Mike, before we move on, you've already talked a little bit about it. That 15 minutes was a test of fitness for Fulham with all those subs coming on for Newcastle. Overall, did they handle it okay?
Yeah, they did. Like I say, you know, I was concerned about it, but, you know, I think the breakaway goal sums it up, really. You know, the guys involved were, you know, Christensen was involved as well, you know, he'd come on as a sub, but just that movement and pace and fitness. So there we are, you know, 6 days away from, you know, kicking off, and I'd say they're pretty much ready in that kind of area. So I would be concerned if I was a Palace fan that they didn't make enough of it, to be honest. So my thoughts on Palace coming up, if that's the best they've got, then, you know, that's a worry. I mean, Townsend was kept very quiet. I think Zaha had a great game. You know, Puncham was, in the end, you know, trying to break people's legs. So, you know, we're going to take the positives away. I would say, you know, McDonald can dish out as well. And my old man was commenting, you know, how many red cards has he had in the past? Because he thinks he's going to be a collector this season. But, you know, we'll have to wait and see. But, no, it's an absolute positive. And, you know, I think it's also the age of the team. I mean, you know, these guys are young or in their prime, below 30. And, you know, again, that's got to be a plus for us.
Absolutely, Mike. And quick, before we go into individuals, because I want to break down individual players' analysis of several players, just overall in the second half, who stood out for you for Fulham?
I'm going to say, although he fell asleep a little bit for the goal, I thought Callis, again, had a very, very good half. And Aiti came into the game a lot more. But I'd say Kearney. I thought Kearney started again on the right wing, ended up, you know, playing as a sort of behind the main striker. Actually, we sort of changed. We went to like a 4-2-3-1 at one stage, and he was in the centre. So in that central role where we wanted to play. So I thought he did very well. Yeah, for me, IRT or Kearney in the second half.
Okay, very good. And we'll be talking about Floyd in a little bit. But before we do that, let's start here because I want to go through an analysis of several players. Let's start with Sonny Aluko. And after you give me your thoughts on him overall for the match, I do want to ask you, I believe he did get come up with a knock during the match. Did he look okay when he came off, Mike? That's my first is an injury concern with Sonny Aluko. Was he okay when he was taken off?
Yeah, I think he was. It was a bad tackle, and it didn't look good. I think he got caught in the back of his calf. But he came back on and ran around and didn't look too bothered. And he's a striker. He's going to get a few. He got some bad tackles against him in the Brighton game as well, and came off a little bit groggy, I think. But he is one of those players. He's going to, you know, with his pace, he's gonna get his ankles clipped a few times and wind up defenders. So I think we're gonna have to deal with him very carefully on a game by game basis. You know, nurture him through games because he has had injury issues in the past. We know that. So I think we'll have to get used to him, you know, going off occasionally with a few knocks. But what pleased me about him was what I've seen in some of the friendlies that have been shown, that he has that turn of pace. He can have the ball, and he's got one of these tricks where he can suddenly, you know, facing the wrong way, he'd turn and be away from that player. So he's got a little bit of burst of speed. So, yeah, very promising from yesterday. Main thing for me, though, one-on-one with the keeper, rounds him, slots it away. So, it was a good finish. It was a good finish. So, very happy with him yesterday.
Okay.
Go
ahead, Mike.
I was going to say, and the fact that he was playing behind Smith, and I, you know, when Woodrow played against Brighton, he played behind him as well. So, as I said after that show, I think although he scored yesterday, I also see him as a provider. Someone who's going to get involved. And when people talk about McCormick, and so it's interesting that I'll be interested to see if McCormick stays, goes, whatever. If he is around, those two playing up front would be a very interesting dynamic, really, because they both seem comfortable coming a little bit deeper, and then you end up with the old argument, well, there's no one actually up top. So, you know, it's just an interesting point, really, I think.
Okay, excellent. Let's move on. Let's talk about Floyd. Floyd Ayite scored a goal at the end, but you know, one thing that I noticed, like on the short highlights that I saw, Mike, is that he had an opportunity that he created very quickly. The ball got to him very quickly, and he took advantage of it and got a shot off. That, to me, was encouraging. Share with me your overall thoughts on Floyd Ayite.
Yeah, I've already mentioned in the first half I thought he was I don't know if disappointing is the right word. He wasn't that involved. He made a lot of runs and turns, but the ball never came to him and probably didn't deliver the crosses I was hoping for. Session on if anyone got more of the crosses in the first half. Second half, he did a bit better, but then he was moved up front as well. And of course, he took his goal well. But there's still signs there that he's going to be an interesting player. He'll frustrate a lot, I think. You know, like many wingers do. But it's that pace bringing us and the ability to, when he gets a chance, to actually put the cross in. So, he did okay yesterday. I thought he was more impressive against Brighton, but different opponents.
Very good point there. This is a Premier League opponent, so maybe we saw a little less of him, but he's playing in the Championship, so he might even have more of a chance to shine. All right, Mike, I'm really curious your thoughts on Dennis Odoi. You know, I'm listening to the match, and I'm hearing a constant battle between Odoi and Wilfried Zaha. How did Dennis Odoi fare?
He did okay. He was Zaha did get the best of him, I think, more in the second half, maybe. But it was very much more a defensive performance from him this week, which was good. I mean, he played, you know, the whole game. Virtually the whole game at right back until Stearman came on. And so if Frederick's going to be out for, you know, 3 months, unfortunately, it looks like he's going to make that position his own unless we go out and get another right back or, you know, whatever. But even attacking wise, he put the cross in for Smith's goal. He was involved in the third goal. So, you know, he brought a lot to the game. And as I said, he will be a fan's favourite within a few games quite easily because, you know, he covers a lot of ground, a lot of determination, and I like him a lot.
Okay, excellent. Let's now stick with the defence, and I really want your thoughts on centre-back Tomas Kalas.
Yeah, so Kalas, he's the one who's gone a little bit under the radar. He's not exciting. He's a centre back. He doesn't really look that imposing, but he reminds me a lot of Aaron Hughes. You know, he's doing things quietly. He reads the ball. He's got a nice pass on him. Very comfortable on the ball, and he will win. He lost out a couple of times against the bigger Palace players. So maybe that's a weakness we will see against some of the you know, the biggest centre forwards and players in the Championship. But for me, he just goes about his job very quietly, without making too much of a fuss, showing a lot of determination. And more importantly for me, you know, he's very calm on the ball, doesn't seem to be someone who gets rushed. So I think he has potential to be, when we look back over the season, as one of the real, you know, important signings that we've made. The other guys that get the headlines, where he does the, you know, the dirty work at the back of the team there. But, you know, I was impressed again by him.
Okay, and let's take that one step further. Michael Maddle, how did they work together?
Yeah, they did okay. Maddle did well, you know, considering he was playing on the left side of the centre-backs. And, you know, looking back over the fixtures that we've played, it's certainly been more Callis and Ream, you know, Ream giving that more natural left-footed side to it. But Maddle's such a good player. He seemed quite comfortable. My only issue is, I very rarely saw him put the ball out to the left. So you had Session on and Aiti out there at times, and I wanted the ball to go left. And I think, it, you know, with McDonald in the team, who seems more natural to look right as well, and Tunnicliffe was the only one who seemed to be trying to spray it over to the left side. So it was just a dynamic that I noticed, and, you know, it could potentially give us issues, but you know, he's a good player. We know he is, and if that was the back four that lines up against Newcastle, so be it. I'd be, you know, fairly comfortable with that lineup.
Okay, and that's going to lead me to ask you about Ryan Sessegnon. Now, you are extremely protective of the youngsters. Listen, he's only 16 years old, so let's keep that in mind. But I really want your assessment of his play against a dangerous player, Andros Townsend. How did he fare?
Well, he did very well. He got turned, like I say, a couple of times by Townsend. But he's also in the highlights reel as well. You can see him a couple of times, you know, get rid of the ball and, you know, very calm. He is, you know, he is slight. There's no doubt about it. But, I mean, you know, he only turned 16 in May. I am very protective of him and other players. But he clearly has a talent. He did not look overawed. Is he going to be left back week in, week out? Highly unlikely. But does he have a very good chance of starting Friday or even, you know, playing a few games here and there? Absolutely. You know, he looks right. He's got his crossing. Maybe yesterday could have been a bit better. But like I say, he never looked fazed. Never looked fazed at all. Looked very calm. And against an England international, he did very well. And I think, you know, with Medel next to him, that helps. And Aiti covered him a number of times as well. So yeah, did very well. And I don't think he's being played just to keep him happy. I think he genuinely is. When you look at the squad and the players we have, you know, they're on merit. And so he may well start Friday on merit.
Well, that's what I want to see, that he earned it. And it sounds like he has so far. Listen, they do have a left back, Scott Malone, who played in the under-23 match. I think it's telling that Slavisa went with Ryan Sessegnon. Again, we learned, I want to say right before the match, that Ryan Fredericks was going to be out for this period. It could be up to 3 months. That's a long period of time. So now Slavisa has to think, well, how do I cover it? I've seen speculation that they could be looking at a left back, which is natural. But Mike, you know, Newcastle, I mean, you've already said this. You are comfortable with him if he starts against Newcastle. Mike, you still with me? Oh, I lost Mike for a second. Okay, not a problem. Mike will be calling back in just one quick second. I'm sure Mike will dial right back in. In the meantime, let me see if I can get Mike back on. I think he just dropped off for a second. Mike, you back with me?
Yes, I am. Sorry about that.
Okay.
Know what happened there.
That's okay. It happens. It happens. Not a big deal. I was just, you know, I guess reiterating, because you've already stated this, you are comfortable with Ryan Sessegnon starting against Newcastle.
Yeah, I think I would be. Yeah, I mean, he's done nothing wrong. And I think maybe, you know, be it Malone, or session on yesterday, whatever game they played in, the idea must have looked for them to play 90 minutes. The fact that Malone got the easier game to go to, I think does tell you something. It's really going to be down to Jokanović in the end, isn't it? Who does he trust most, you know? But, I've seen the speculation on a left back or even a right back, and I think it's a question of who does he want? You know, he obviously wants, which side does he want Adou on? I think that's
good point.
The real point. You know,
because he can play both.
He signed primarily as the left back. It's good to have these options.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, you know, Malone. I don't know enough about him. I've seen him a couple of times. Obviously, you know, it's nice to see a youngster play, but it will be a completely different game on, you know, Friday night, and it may be down to who they think he might be facing, you know, with Newcastle. I mean, they've got a number of good players, as we know.
Right.
So he may go for experience on the loan, or, you know, throw the young lad in and see what he does. And like I say, on yesterday's performance against Townsend, I wouldn't have any qualms about him starting.
Okay, very good, Mike. All right. I'm really curious your thoughts on this player. I've seen some mixed reviews. I'm going to read one after you share your thoughts from a writer who's a known Fulham supporter. I'll share that after you share your take on Kevin McDonald. But I've said this is a signing that I really wanted for going on. This is the second year, so I'm glad that they brought him in. I think that he is going to be a defensive midfielder, a step up. I think you even tweeted out different than Rohan Ince, because he can obviously pass, is a better passer. So I want your assessment of Kevin McDonald in this game against Crystal Palace.
Well, yeah, I mean, he was a bit slow getting into the game. Throughout it, he certainly made some crunching tackles. One of the things I don't understand is some of the fans who have said, you know, he's not a defensive midfielder. He may not be a defensive midfielder in that sense, but he's a big lad. He gets the tackles in. And yes, if you're going to compare him to Ince, he's almost like an American footballer. I don't know what you would call him, Russ, you know, the stopper, you know, someone like that. That's his job, is to stop the play, a blocker of some kind. And he's not going to give you the passing range that McDonald clearly has. And so I think he can play defensive role. And I think I saw the wording that he looked like he was running in treacle. So I think someone tweeted that. Yeah, I mean, he's not he's not the fastest and most graceful. But I'd rather he was playing for us than against us. And that's always got to be a good sign. And I remember for Wolves last year, he ran the game at our place.
It.
So, yeah. So, you know, I think it might be a case of him still getting to fitness, still getting to know a few of the players. But he's going to be on that team sheet on Friday. I've got no doubts at all.
Okay, very good. And like I said, I'm just going to read this tweet from David Kidd. Dave Kidd tweeted this out, and it caught my attention because, I'm one that really is looking forward to McDonald. So this is what he tweeted out. For any Fulham fans who didn't go today, impressed with Aluko, Ayite, Adoy, Collis, and Sessegnon, less so McDonald, need a CDM and a striker still. What are your thoughts about that tweet from Dave Kidd?
Yeah, I mean, that pretty much covers what I've said, isn't it? You know, these players, if you're going to list them in order of who impressed, then McDonald would be down, you know, down near the bottom. Our main play came out wide and up front. So, you know, Tunnicliffe and McDonald, is that a good combination? I'd say no. Not in a 4-4-2. Maybe if you drop them both and they're a bit deeper and you go 4-2-3-1, maybe. But, yeah, for me, he did fine. He's finding his way, I think. And, less impressive. But he will still be an important player for us this year.
Right. And, you know, again, I want to be fair to Dave. You know, he's just basically saying less than the other players. It doesn't mean that he played poor. He's just saying he's less impressive than the others. And it's just one match. And like you mentioned, Mike, he's playing himself into the team. You know, he hasn't, you know, again, he's just started with them, so let's give the guy a chance. But I have a very strong feeling that he will be out there against Newcastle. All right, Mike, real quick, because I want to spend a few minutes talking about Savisa. Thoughts on Jesse Uronen?
I think I may have covered that earlier. Yeah, he did really
okay.
Well considering it, you know, it's probably a last minute call for him. I fully expect him to go out on loan. You know, I doubt very much he's going to push for a starting place. But any fans who didn't know the goalkeeping situation who came in yesterday and watched him play would have seen a very good goalkeeper, make a very good save, command his area, look to get rid of the ball very quickly. He's someone who's he distributes it quicker than Bettinelli. And he only made one mistake, really, though, because he failed to kick the ball out a bit quick and it hit the player's back, the striker's back, and it bounced, you know, back over, I think, for a goal kick. But, I've said all along, he's a decent goalkeeper. I actually don't think he's got much of a future at our place. You know, he's in his last year of contract. I would expect him to go out on loan and then maybe get sold next year when we extend it, because we do have an option. But, who knows? You know, things can change. And, again, if he started on Friday, I wouldn't have a problem with that.
Okay. And interesting, Mike, because the one thing that you really focused on, you know, and again, I was listening to the broadcast talk about commanding his box. Sound like he was doing a good amount of that, and that to me is going to ask you a question. You know, I think you're right. I think they'll send him out on loan. Final year, could it be a mistake not to give him more of a look?
Well, I mean, I think if you were going to give him more of a look, then we wouldn't have signed Button. I think it's as
point.
Simple as that.
Good point.
You would have gone with Bettinelli
and
Jonwin as your two main goalkeepers. So, it's a shame, but I do expect him not to, you know, be a Fulham player next season. But, a lot can change in a year. Who knows? But, he did well yesterday. Certainly may have given him some thoughts on the goalkeeping situation. And if they've got injuries and viruses, who knows what's going to happen between now and Friday.
That's a very good point, my friend. All right. We're just going to go a few minutes over, Mike. I hope you can just stick with me for just a few minutes, because I want to spend like 5 minutes talking about Savisa's comments after the match. You can actually read it on FulhamFC.com. It's funny, because when I pulled it up, Mike, I thought it was going to be more to do with the match, but it really wasn't. It was really to do with looking forward to the upcoming season. So I'm going to read the quotes, and then I want to get your thoughts on it. This is from the head coach reaction right on the Fulham website. Quote, "This is only preseason," Jokonović said in his post-match press conference. "Sorry, the real important games are going to start next Friday night, and we'll finish 9 months after. We will forget our victory today in a preseason game very fast. Probably in 6 days, nobody will remember this preparation game. I believe we are ready for the first game, but we are not ready for the competition. I expect we're still going to show more ambition in these days that are in front of us." Then he goes on a little bit later. There are a few more quotes. "We still need more additions," he stated. "We need to sign 4 or 5 more players. If you want to fight for a different target to what we were fighting for last season, we need to improve ourselves immediately. I'm very happy with how my team is working in preseason. These boys are working hard to improve themselves, but it's not enough. I expect we are going to offer more ambition. I want to be successful. I'm sure the players working with me want to be successful. And if all of us want to be successful, we have to push hard. I'm not selfish. I want to be personally successful, and this is a very, very good for the people around me, the supporters too, and definitely for Fulham Football Club." All right. Oh, and then I just want to end with this. He does have some commentary on Ross McCormack. He ends this way. "I didn't use Ross McCormack in the last few games. He has some physical problem, and I expect he should be ready to work with us on Monday." So that's his last comment involving McCormack. All right, Mike, I want to get your thoughts on the quotes from Savisa Jokonović after the match.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's interesting. It's obviously caused some debate and everyone reading it, what they like into each line and syllable and exclamation mark. And, you know, I mean, it's without actually hearing it, it's difficult to hear, you know, difficult to understand the sort of, you know, where his inflections, where he was, you know, concentrating it on, you know, it's all this kind of stuff. If people read what they want to into it, so you can read that this is Jokanović saying to the board, you know, get your finger out, I need these players if you want to do anything. Or it's his broken English way of saying exactly what he says. I believe we are ready for the first game. Fine. So he's saying they're ready for the first game, but we are not ready for the competition. And I don't think there's a fan out there who would expect the manager to say we're ready. We all agree we need some more additions, especially if we're going to lose McCormick as well. So there's nothing there in that sentence that is shocking. And he says, I expect we're still going to show more ambition in these days that are in front of us. So what he's saying there is, I expect to see possibly more players come in the next few days. That's good news for everyone. Don't see him having a go at anyone there, any, you know, hidden agenda. He's saying we still need more additions. Yeah, just, you know, we all agree with that. And we need to sign four or five more players. Be it four, five, six, three. Yes, we need those kind of players. If you want to fight for a different target to what we were fighting for last season, we need to improve ourselves immediately. Yeah, again, he's saying we want to show ambition, we need to improve play. So he's telling up for me, he's telling the fans, we're not resting on our laurels. We know we need to improve. It's a good result, but we can get better. And, you know, be that a message to the owners, to Rig, to whoever, that, you know, we need these players. I just don't see what the problem is. He's just saying, he's being honest the way he usually does, and he's just laying it out there. We're ready for Friday, but we can improve, and that's what you want to hear. We did this show at the beginning of July when we'd signed one player, and I said to you at the time, we need 10 players. That's what we all agreed on.
That's right.
I said, if we can get one player a week up to Newcastle, then we would have got the five or six we wanted. We're ahead of schedule there. There's still a month to go of the season. No, I don't want us to be signing three or four players on the last day, but, you know, we still have 4 weeks. We have some very good players already. It was a shortened squad yesterday for some niggles, some injuries, and, you know, a virus, whatever, and the fact we had another game somewhere else. So players like Humphreys, and who may deserve a run out at some stage, he could have been involved. So, you know, there is work to do. There's still players to bring in. But I don't see this as some hidden message to Rig, etc., or a message to the fans, you know, I'm not happy, I'm going to walk any minute, you know, which I see other people saying. I just, you know, what kind of reputation is that he's going to want, walking out on a team 4 or 5 days before the season begins? So fans who have been saying that, I think, you know, I think they're going to have egg on their face.
Oh, very interesting, Mike. It's funny because, like you said, people can read it in different ways. People can take it, again, as another shot at Rig, McIntosh, and Khan, you know, bring me the players. And I can see why someone would read that way. I took it this way. Similar to you, I took it as, we're not done yet. We're not done yet. We need this. We need X. We're ready for the first match, but we're not ready to be where we want to be. He's being honest. I've heard managers, coaches, and other sports say this all the time. I did not take it as a threat to leave. I did not take it as a real knock at ownership or Rig or not. I just didn't take it that way. Could it possibly be just a little reminder? Maybe. I don't know. But I think the way I took it is he's just being honest. He has high ambition. Mike, what I really took out of this, and you tell me if you got the same thing, he doesn't want to settle. He wants to get this team promoted this season. That, to me, he's showing his ambition. That's the message I got out of it. We're not there yet, but that's where I want to be. That's what I got out of it. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, that's it. I mean, you know, he is targeting, you know, promotion, and
he is,
and quite rightly as well. Yeah, and quite rightly as well. And you know, anyone who thinks he's not, you know, is mistaken. And you can argue that you don't think the team is good enough. And I've already said what we have, we should certainly be challenging around that eighth place. Yeah, I mean, that is the target. It's not consolidation and let's try and finish, you know, mid-table. We've got to go for it and, yeah, take it from there.
Right, and that to me was the message I got, is that we're not there yet. Like I just said, we're not there yet. I'm not, you know, I'm an ambitious person. The target, you know, without him coming out and saying, the target is promotion. And he just realizes that he still needs more players to get to that target, to get to where he wants Fulham to be. He doesn't want Fulham to be mid-table. I don't think he wants Fulham to just be in the mix for promotion. I think he wants them to get promoted. And, I mean, wants to do everything he can possible to get a club that can go straight to promotion. I, you know, honestly, realistically, I'd be happy with fighting for top six, but I think his ambition's even higher than that. I think he wants promotion, and he'll do whatever it takes to get his team to that, but he needs help, and that to me is just a reminder to all of us that the job is far from done, and that the goal is promotion. Without coming out and saying the word promotion, that to me seemed to be the message. All right, Mike, listen, fantastic show. Great job you did today. I really appreciate the job you did breaking down this match. Before we go, any final thoughts?
Just that, you know, yesterday was a good result. We've had a good preseason. Hopefully we don't have many injuries. Get a couple more players at least come in. Let's hope the Ross McCormick saga is done and dusted. You know, certainly by Wednesday, I would have thought, you know, whether he's staying or going, at least we know for this weekend, because it's not really going to go away if he stays until September, is it? But,
right.
You know, and we should look forward to Friday, shouldn't be scared, and we should be able to give Newcastle a good game, as long as, you know, most of these players are fit.
No, I definitely agree with that, Mike, and my final thought is just to tell everyone that we're actually going to be doing a prediction show. Yes, a prediction show, basically a preview of the upcoming season. We'll be looking at the championship, who we think is going to contend for the title, all different topics. We're going to be doing that on Wednesday. Mike, you and I are going to be doing that. And I'm here to tell you, you don't know this, but we will be joined by Emilio Danello, who will be doing that show with us. So I look forward to that. We'll also have a preview show the next day. We have plenty of shows of Cottage Talk coming to you. Also want to mention that please do check out my friends at Cottagers Confidential. We do the Cottagers Confidential Roundtable. Please do check out a brand-new YouTube channel, Fulham Fan TV. Please check them out. They just launched. They're doing videos. Give them a look. Again, these are four Fulham supporters who really want to do some videos for everyone, so I would highly recommend you checking out the YouTube channel and also their Twitter account. I've tweeted out a bunch of times, so please check that out. All right, Mike, again, one last time, thank you very much, my friend. I hope you enjoyed the show today.
Yeah, no, I really did, and looking forward to the prediction show. And, yeah, it's... I'm excited about the season coming up and other fans should be, and try not to, you know, get too down on the Ross McCormick issue. He's either going to stay or go. It's out of our hands. And hopefully yesterday showed that even if he does leave, we're still going to be able to give teams a good game. And, you know, let's not worry about losing just one player, because, you know, we brought in six or seven. We're going to bring in a few more. And we have changed our style, and those who weren't there yesterday, hopefully they will see that on Friday to good effect.
I agree with that, Mike. It's about a team, and I think all the Fulham supporters will see that at Craven Cottage Friday night. I cannot wait. It is on TV here, so I'll be able to watch it. I'm really looking forward to that. All right, my friend, I will be talking to you on Wednesday, but it is time to wrap up this episode. For Mike Gregg, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you, as always, for listening to Cottage Talk. Cheers, Mike. Have a great night.
Cheers, Russ.